Well, William Farrell is a character, the fiery debater and evangelist. Guilleman Farrell was a dynamic man of action who gave his whole life to spreading the gospel of Christ. William Farrell was one of the most important leaders of the French Reformation from the very beginning. When Dr. Martin Luther's Reformation writings came to France, William Farrell became one of the most prominent leaders of the French Reformed movement. When persecution forced him to flee from France in 1523, he became the leader of a group of evangelists who preached in French-speaking Switzerland. Okay, he was on the run from France, but where can he go? There's another country that speaks French, at least part of it, Switzerland. He went to Switzerland, and Farrell's energetic efforts were central in opposing Catholicism and promoting the Protestant Reformation in Basel, Bern, Lausanne, and Geneva. When he had been studying in Paris at Sorbonne University under Professor Jacques Lefebvre, Farrell came to faith in Christ. Professor Lefebvre had published a Latin translation of and commentary on the epistles of St. Paul. As he taught that it is God alone who saves by grace alone, William Farrell said his eyes were opened and his heart believed. Everywhere he proclaimed the supremacy of the scriptures and the need to return to a purified faith, which is based on the Bible alone. Farrell's powerful preaching was described as full of fire and fury. The Pope is Antichrist. The Mass is idolatry. His sermons were cannon blasts. His oratory gripped whole cities. Farrell was called the scourge of the priests. Several priests attempted to assassinate Farrell. After one attempt on his life failed, Farrell whirled around and declared to the priest who had fired the bullet, "I'm not afraid of your shots." And he wasn't. He was a God-fearing man, and he feared no man except God. With great skill in debating and evangelistic zeal, Farrell succeeded in winning most of French-speaking Switzerland to the Protestant faith. Many new churches were established and organized under his very energetic leadership. Although he is much more of an orator than a writer, he is a man of action rather than a theologian. But Farrell did provide the newly created churches with discipleship books in French. In his summary, Farrell showed how Christian doctrine should be practically applied to everyday life. And he drew up the first liturgy for French-speaking Reformed churches. Farrell crossed the Alps to participate in the Synod of the Waldensians. He recruited these believers to the Reformation movement, and he convinced them to have the scriptures translated and printed. This was the first French translation of the Holy Scriptures published in 1535. After winning Neuchâtel to Christ, he introduced the book publisher Pierre de Vigel to Neuchâtel. And Pierre de Vigel, just between 1533 and 1535, published 20 Protestant books which spread the faith far and wide. So Neuchâtel became a major printing center for getting Reformed literature out into the French-speaking world. Farrell was a man of deep devotion, a man of personal piety, and with a very practical faith. He taught that true Christianity functions through charity. Farrell's practice was to go into marketplaces of Catholic towns and preach the gospel. When attempts were made to arrest him, he had challenged the local priest or the bishop to a public debate. Inevitably, Farrell won these debates. Nobody could beat Farrell in a debate. And he would then appeal directly to the masses to vote on whether they were in favor of converting to the Protestant faith or whether they wanted to remain with papal superstition. And on these mission trips, Farrell's confrontational style and his aggressive tactics provoked violent reactions. In one town, the bishop tried to drown him in the fountain. On another occasion, Farrell resorted to fists to eject the papists and seize their pulpits. And he got into pulpits with blood-stained knuckles, opening up the scriptures and started to preach the word of God with blood dripping from his knuckles. I mean, that's the kind of man he was. He sometimes beat the bishop, threw him out the doors, bolted the doors, went up to the pulpit and preached the gospel. It's significant that the Reformation War Monument in Geneva, Farrell's the only reformer depicted with a Bible on his left hand, not his right. Here you've got John Calvin in the center. You've got Farrell on his right. So on the far left is Farrell. Notice all the other reformers are holding a Bible in their right hand. But Pharrell is the only one holding the Bible in his left hand. And notice his finger is in a place, like he's holding his place in the Bible where he's going to preach from. But his right hand's in a fist. Do you see that? His right hand's in a fist, and his left hand is holding the Bible with a finger in a place. And the people who did this monument knew Pharrell. Pharrell was a fighter. He used his fists as well as his logic. Pharrell was ridiculed, he was beaten, he was shot at, he was abused, but he never gave up. He was a fighter of the faith. In the summer of 1535, Pharrell seized the church of La Madeleine and the cathedral of Saint-Pierre, or Saint-Peter, in Geneva. Pharrell declared, "I have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I go about preaching Christ, how he died for our sins and rose again for our justification. Whoever believes in him will be saved. Unbelievers will be lost. I'm bound to preach to all who will hear. I'm ready to dispute with you. I'm ready for an argument. Who wants to argue?" And that's how he was. In response to his vehement sermon against idolatry, there was a wave of destroying superstitious images, statues, idols throughout Geneva. Altars were demolished. The mass was abolished. Images were removed from churches. On the 21st of May, 1536, the General Assembly of the Citizens of Geneva voted in favor of the Reformation and made the Protestant faith the official religion of the city. And here in stone it's marked, 1536, 21 May, the Pledge of Geneva, the assembled citizens and council, General Assembly of the people, obligated to the Reformation, committed to the Reformation. There you can see it in French, in stone at the Reformation Wall. With Geneva in revolt against the Duke of Savoy and its bishop, waves of political and religious turmoil swept the city. Emotions were high. Surrounded by mountains in the control of the Catholic France and the Duke of Savoy, the Reformation in Geneva was extremely vulnerable. If you go there today, you can't believe how vulnerable it is. You just look, every mountain on three sides around Geneva are controlled by Catholic France. Here's this little enclave of Protestantism just in this valley surrounded by these mountains, which are in the hands of the enemy. Pharrell knew his limitations, and he prayed for a man who'd be capable of discipling this distracted and this debauched city. It was at this decisive point that 27-year-old French reformer John Calvin was forced by local war to detour through Geneva. And he only expected to be in the city for one night. But Pharrell heard of this famous scholar and this author of the Institutes, and he rushed over to recruit him. But Calvin was not interested. The more Pharrell explained his plans and described the situation in Geneva, the less Calvin felt inclined to stay. He realized that to accept Pharrell's challenge would involve him in controversies and conflict, and his timid nature shrunk from such unscholarly activities. Calvin's mind was set on studying in Strasbourg. But Pharrell insisted that he must stay in Geneva. Others observing this escalating argument could not have appreciated what a dramatic impact the result of this contest of wills would have on world history. When at last Calvin pleaded his inexperience, his general unsuitability for the pastorate, his need for further study, you can almost think of Moses at the burning bush explaining why he couldn't do this mission that God was giving him. Pharrell rose from his chair and stretched himself out to his full height. With his long beard sweeping his chest, Pharrell directed his piercing eyes and burrowed into the young man seated before him. He thundered, "May God curse your studies if now, in a time of need, you refuse to lend your aid to the church." John Calvin was visibly shaken. And as he said later, he was struck with terror. In Pharrell's voice of thunder, Calvin had heard the call of God. There and then he yielded and he consented to stay in Geneva. Just as Barnabas was used to recruit Saul for ministry, who later became Paul, so Pharrell recruited Calvin. William Pharrell was probably John Calvin's closest friend throughout the years. John Calvin was not a man who had a lot of friends, but William Pharrell was certainly his friend. Much older than him, but a steadfast friend. They endured much together, including being expelled from Geneva in 1538. Again, it was the persuasions of Farel that convinced Calvin to accept Geneva's request for him to return in 1541, when they again invited him. So he was absolutely critical. Without Farel, there would have been no Calvin. Simple. No Calvin in Geneva, that is. For the last 27 years of his life, Farel pastored the church in Neuchâtel, one of the first towns that he had won to Christ. Farel's dynamic faith, missionary vision, evangelistic campaigns had in large measure been used of God to win much of French-speaking Switzerland to Christ. And it was he who ensured that John Calvin became the pastor, the educator, the reformer of Geneva. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I've fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I've made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build another man's foundation. This verse of Paul's applies to William Farel as well. He was a modern-day Paul, powerful in preaching.